Previously on 24.
Jack! Put down your weapon. Now! What the hell's going on?
Where's Ryan Burnett?
What?
Senator Mayer's chief of staff, where is he? Told me to double back to one of his contacts, who gave him information of a second attack. It's gonna take place here in Washington within the hour. Juman's operatives are carrying it out. Burnett's been supporting them all along. He knows where the attack's gonna take place, so you can either tell me where he is, or I will find him myself. Mr. Burnett, you are a traitor and a terrorist.
I'm not. I love my country.
Mr. Bauer, this is President Taylor.
Where's the target? Where's the target?
What you're doing is against the law, Mr. Bauer. I am ordering you to stand down.
Where is...
Take Mr. Bauer away. He's under arrest. You should have come to me. You should have presented your case.
It would really have made a difference, ma'am.
Colonel Baku is dead.
Laurent must never know about this. Or about his father's cowardice.
There is no sign of my father. Let me take his place on the assault team.
Spoken like a true de Baku, Laurent. It is time for us to go.
This is it, Larry. No question. They're moving out.
Any idea what the next target is?
No.
From here, it is approximately 100 meters to the entrance.
The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Hello, I'm Tony Todd, playing General Juma.
And I'm Brad Turner. I directed this episode. And here's Tony getting out of the water after his scuba diving event.
About 6 hours of swimming, I think.
Exactly. This was all shot in the studio. So the hole that you see is actually in a tank that we created from a large full-size dumpster. We shot all the underwater footage that you saw in the previous episode with an underwater camera in a dumpster doubles.
I kept hearing all the setups of that with the production crew and the stunt coordinators. They were all like anticipating that. You guys never let me see it. I don't know why. Didn't want me to get wet. I think you only had two or three
costumes.
You have
to watch this season, Tony.
I've been paying attention, though. TiVo is a great thing.
Yes, it is. Now what we're doing here is basically we realize what's happening. So what I was trying to set up is the tension of you know, the daughter and the president and Jack and the people that we love in this series all in the White House with no idea what's happening. So it's kind of what we'd call an open mystery where the audience knows what's going on and the characters don't know yet.
Right.
And
it builds the suspense quite
exactly
preciously.
And what I tried to do was create a lot of movement and visual stunning images and that kind of thing cut together with a very sort of staid White House normal atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. I believe when I first met you, you were shooting this scene, and I was brought around the corner for your costume approval.
Oh, right, yeah.
Whether I was going to wear the beret.
Exactly,
or
yeah.
Just in the Redemption.
I remember that day.
Yeah, it was too small. And I thought the hallways were quite incredible.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
The great Cherry Jones, who I knew in New York as a theater actress, won several Obie Awards and stuff.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, she originated Role of Doubt, actually.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Mm-hmm.
She's brilliant.
She is.
And again, meeting characters that, you know, are going to factor into the attack and just setting the tension and the, you know, business as usual feeling in White House.
Mm-hmm. What's one of the things that's so great about this series is that you guys cast people that are so specific to who they're playing. I mean, everybody's on point.
Exactly.
Jeffrey Norling, I'd done a film miniseries called True Women with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, oh, great. Well, interesting, that freight car we actually had transported to this location, which is...
Wasn't that San Pedro?
In San Pedro, right. Yeah. We brought it in on a truck, and stuck it on the old rail tracks in this empty location.
Wow. And then we
again,
stuck
just to
it?
Create a sort of an underground feel.
Wow. That was a very claustrophobic location.
Yes. No windows.
No windows. No light.
Exactly. We created
but lots of craft services. That's food for you folks out there for keep us crew and cast happy.
Yeah, now we're in a park and, you know, somewhere near the Sepulveda Dam. So, you know, it's like, it's all this, remember, this is all Washington. So,
yeah.
To try to keep the idea of a bit of water, we had to actually supply water to the creek because,
wow.
You know, it's dry here in Los Angeles. So,
well, it was really great back in episodes 1 and 2. They actually had footage from D.C., right? And that sort of lingers with people throughout.
Yeah, the first 8 episodes, we did a lot of shooting in Washington. And then we started to use the footage we got, you know, as establishing shots, and then created the sense of it. But this was a particularly important group of events because I had to get Jeffrey's character to this location, and this was a key element of the storytelling to find out how Jeffrey could find her, because she was completely, she'd gone dark completely. And this is when Jack comes in the scene. Mm-hmm. And what I thought when I was reading the script and I was thinking about how to do this, how great is this? Because the fans of 24 are going to say, because it's an open mystery and we know that you're about to attack the White House, Jack is incarcerated in the White House, and everybody knows, thank God Jack Bauer's there.
He's on location.
And I thought it was clever. You know, the writers were very clever in the way they staged this so Jack was doing the right thing, was getting the right information, but because the president stopped his interrogation, he's stuck in the White House where they're going to need him the most. And it's interesting how this, at the end of this episode, he justifies what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember just wandering around here on the stage as you would pass the writers' rooms. So they were always in conference, it seemed.
Yes.
No matter what time of the day it was, planning, plotting, ripping stuff up.
Yeah, the real-time element of this show is a huge challenge for the writers and the directors and the actors to try to keep it going, keep the tension going, keep it moving from one moment to the other.
Well, thank God for first ADs. You had a great one.
Yeah, Nicole did a great job. Yeah.
James Morrison's terrific also. I saw him do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof years ago.
Yeah, he's wonderful. And this is a very poignant scene for what happens in the future, where he can't be what Jack is. And it's the first time they've ever had that moment where they really connect and Jack understands that Buchanan can't do what Jack can do, and that's...
Now, believe it or not, this sequence here, we actually shot on set and recreated underground tunnels.
Yes, they've had their journey now from where they went in under the Potomac into... what I invented was this world of underwater caverns that you went in. And this has all been... The biggest problem with all of this was this is probably the most secure building in the world. And so we had to make the journey into this place as difficult and as unique as we could come up with.
Right. And still keep plausibility.
Right.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to hammer through this is that there's people supplying you information.
Right.
And that's how you get in here with the security that's involved. Mm-hmm. We made it as secure as possible. When this guy shows up, he's a fly in the ointment. He didn't expect it. That's why he locks the door and he's already got the side of the storeroom here dug out as much as he can without destroying all of them the surveillance
the
stuff outside. Yeah.
Surveillance stuff.
But see, your man is communicating the whole time with someone on the outside. We don't know who it is, but it's obviously somebody that really knows the inner workings and the security of the White House.
Well, one of the reasons we got in the first place, we had those schematics.
Exactly. And they were all access from engineering plans that would have been confidential.
Right. There is a mole somewhere.
Yes. It's revealed in this episode later, but...
Right.
So that security prevented any of this kind of thing from happening if anybody ever got this far.
Right.
Because these tunnels are in theory, all secret, completely secret. Again, this is all set.
Well, one of our theories was that nothing had changed in over
It's a building that's been around forever, and so I mean, there is a chance. Well, theoretically, there could be tunnels down there.
Well, it's weird because yesterday I just read in Rolling Stone that in the basement they have an area that's preserved for record albums, great classic. Like, who would have thought? We went into the wrong room.
You just have brought the door to the left.
Yeah,
just down there, just past the dungeons.
So, had some great young actors in this piece. Yes, just around playing my team.
They were great.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing a play with Levinsky right now.
Oh, really?
The Fugard play, on the island.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So now the sense is, you know, they're getting closer and closer. And I'm intercutting this with Jack being taken out of the building. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know that the people that love this show are just saying, don't get Jack out of this building before this goes down because we're going to need him there.
Don't you think they know that
that's gonna
he's ultimately going to come face to face?
Exactly.
These hallways that you guys created for the White House, I mean, yes. we had to come in and do reshoots because you wanted constant more travel,
exactly.
more journey.
We wanted to build, and we, you know, it was a production thing. We wanted to build more resistance mm-hmm. from the Secret Service and that sort of thing because we kind of wanted to, you know, I think the feeling was we wanted to get to the ultimate conclusion of this episode. And it just, the journey should have met more resistance, and that was the sense that we were trying to portray.
There's Jack under confinement.
Yep. And we see you are now in the main area and moving through the building. And this is part of the additional shooting you did because we were trying to sense more hallways, more people, more resistance.
Right. I thought it was because you wanted to keep me out of the Oval Office. We actually shot a scene where
yes, we did.
I went inside.
You got in the Oval Office and thought she was gone.
Office.
What we did was we moved up the scene where Buchanan gets the locator a little bit earlier, and that made that scene irrelevant. So, and even though
I thought it was because I took her reading glasses.
No, I had nothing to do with that. Yeah, we defined your character as having a really good sight, so he didn't need the reading glasses.
Didn't need any more. Although you defined me as having a really good scar, I got to give props to the makeup department for that continuity alone.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh,
that's really natural.
Exactly. So this is where Renee confronts him, and it's interesting because this is a huge turn in the plot, but we had to do it. She had blurted it out, get it really, making it work really quickly because. He's at a point where he's ready to just shoot her, and this is always a problem for directors and actors. When you've got a gun pointed at you and there's no reason for not to pull the trigger.
What is it?
And I thought she did it, and he did a great job of jumping in and...
And this character is also revealed as DeBaku's son.
Yes, this is DeBaku's son. And Annie did most of this... The stunt work here herself. There's very few shots of the. We had a double there for her, mm-hmm. but they both, and that happens on our show, and I think Kiefer sensed that tone. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of the action stuff with the actors, as you're probably well aware. We always have the doubles there.
I can remember having to sit down once or twice after a sequence.
Exactly.
Well, it always the tone is always set at the top. I mean,
exactly.
People follow the leader. I mean, you come on to set, and there's such an air of seriousness, yet. People enjoying whatever their capacity is, and I think it's shown on the screen.
Yeah, and this is a seminal moment in the episode too, where we see the phone rings. We know it's going to happen again. Our audience to this point is ahead of us.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Do you think audiences? Do we allow them to get ahead?
Yes, that's exactly what the intention was.
Do the twist.
And it's now that we go into real time because. In terms of the plot, mm-hmm. because Jack now hears what's going on. Now we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But up to this point, you getting into the White House, our heroes were completely unaware of that.
Right.
Now,
the audience,
now they're aware of it. Now we're into real time closed mystery. We don't. We have. When and it's interesting when we bring Jack Bauer into a situation like this. Immediately, it becomes a closed mystery where we go. Because our show works so well when our audience goes, how is Jack going to get out of this one? And this is probably one of the biggest dilemmas he's ever had because we're in the White House.
Wow. He's never had an on-site issue like this before.
Oh, he's had lots of on-site issues, but nothing in the White House.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, in exactly. The White House, yeah. Yeah, oh, no. No, we haven't done that. And again,
is this the first time you've had to take a prisoner inside the safe house?
Yes, and in this particular, we've gone in safe rooms in other sets and other locations and in other areas of the USA, but never in the White House. This is the first time.
One exits and another one enters.
Yeah. So now we're in real time, and now she's moving through. And I love this about Kiefer Sutherland. There's a Secret Service agent here. He says, it's your house. Let me know what to do. That's what makes him such a great character, and that's what makes Kiefer such a great actor. He never plays that I know everything because I'm a superhero.
He asks questions.
He's got to ask. He doesn't know. He will tell me, I don't know my way around here. Somebody has to show me. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of this. I'm a reluctant hero this year, so you know somebody has to guide me through this.
Right.
And, you know, what no one knows right now is how are you getting through all of this? What is this information this kid's got?
Right.
What's going on? What is going on? Because it's unbelievable we've gotten this far without more resistance.
Well, we don't want people to think they can just go to Best Buy and get a GPS embedded. We don't need that.
Don't try this at home.
No. Those wardrobe pieces that they had us put on, that actually took about 10 minutes to get completely rocked up with weapons, strapping, and so forth.
Exactly. So we're getting close to the end of where we did all of the additional shooting to get you through the hallways. And this particular set is actually, we called it the Rabbit Run. And what it was we created the grand hall that you've seen earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
We actually created an inner sort of area and made it an oval hallway that wasn't oval, but it was kind of rectangular. So I could play different angles and redress it and make all different looks in the hallways.
You were quite proud of that. I remember you kept telling me I got this fantastic set.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's great is that you can run all the way around. So.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Were these some of the biggest days you had in terms of extras and stuntmen?
Yes.
And
this was a big episode for stuntmen and shooting and all of this. We visited this this particular set twice because we actually added to it. We thought it worked so great that we actually added additional stuff where one of your men didn't go down. Uh-huh. This was an added scene. Uh-huh. Again, I felt like I needed to boost the hostage feel. Uh-huh.
That's great.
More workers.
Those hostages were great.
Yeah, they did a great job.
No complaining.
Yeah.
On point.
Yeah. And again, here's Glenn doing his great Secret Service thing with the president's daughter.
Other than Kiefer, he's the longest running cast member, is that
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. He's been in the
great
whole.
Great guy.
Yeah. Right now, your life is a priority, whether you like it or not. Please step inside. So this is a fictitious, I think, you know, lockdown for the president. That's sort of away from the Oval Office, and we created the idea that, of course, Jack Bauer and the president get trapped alone in the safe house, which is a perfect scenario for our show, because Jack is there to deal with it on his own.
Right. Heightened tension. We'll try to find a way out of the building. These edits are quite something.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of material to wade through, too.
Well, I remember you used to do things like shooting from the surveillance camera alone. I mean, there's so many points of views that are used.
And that works for our show. This is you can see how it connects you guys. You don't know what's going on in there, but they can see what's happening with you, and you're unaware of it now, but you eventually find out. Mm-hmm. So it's great for story and visual continuity.
How many editors do you use?
We have three editors.
Three editors.
And it's unbelievable. As you say, this gunfight has been going on for the whole length of time, and that one lampshade falls down about three times. That one behind there.
It is somebody's job to put it exactly where it belongs.
But you know what? If you watch the first time, you never see that lampshade fall three
of
times, if not in a million years.
We're just bringing attention to it now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just want to stress, I mean, people watch this stuff. It goes by in a flash of a second, but there are so many people involved on a set who have a specific task and make sure everything, you know, reveals the mystery that people are seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that computer that you used, that we actually had real-time information on that, which was awesome.
We try to do it in an order, and that's where our ADs like Nicole come in, and she's able to schedule it so we have that material for you guys to react to.
Mm-hmm.
Let us speak to her.
Who is this?
Special Agent Hovis.
Agent Hovis?
This is probably the scene you direct me in the most, because we kept trying to find a fine balance between being ARC and keeping it human. And I thank you for that.
But you know, Tony, you carried this character so well, because this is a difficult character to play, because the enormity of where you end up and the fact that it's a suicide mission and you're aware of that, the confidence and the sense you give to your commitment to who this guy was great.
Well, thank you.
And it comes through clearly.
And in these
two moments when you have these dilemmas, you have this dilemma and the one coming up, you just handled yourself with such class as a character that, you know, we're gonna hate you as a character because of what you're doing.
Right.
But we understand your point of view as a character based on what we've seen up to this point.
I've committed myself to this, like you said, a mission of suicide.
Exactly.
And in my mind, I believe I'm doing it for the good of Singala.
Exactly.
No matter what the president says about
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Well, you have to deal with that.
I do. I've been watching the episode so far. I'm such a despicable person, allegedly.
And it's interesting because, you know, we know she's in the White House. And again, here we are with a semi-open mystery where our the president is saying, where is she? Is she safe? Is she a hostage? She doesn't know.
Right.
But we know.
We know already.
So that provides that kind of conflict, the story conflict, which works really well in this show. Sometimes you know what people are wondering what's happening, mm-hmm. and sometimes you don't.
This is a penultimate moment. I mean, actually gathering hostages in the White House.
So this room is where we build all those hallways. This big main room.
We
is where we
this
put the
before,
middle exactly.
And then we went back, tore it down because I remember you blew blew it up.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
It's
fine.
Coming.
But yeah, there's a big action sequence that takes place here. But after we went back and shot. Yes,
I love that scar.
It looks great.
Sometimes it just pops out at you when it's not right. Yep. We shoot this in Chatsworth, which is not the easiest place in the world to get to. But for the most part, everybody, to get 100 people on one area on time is incredible.
And that helicopter shot, this one is a dummy helicopter. And all we did was take the tail and pull it up and drop it down.
Somebody actually holding it in the bag. It's like the old Star Trek days.
Exactly.
The door is open magically.
And this is a great CG shot, which is so 24. Just come off them, see the White House in the background.
So the White House is CG?
Yeah. Okay. Not showing off. And it's just nice because it connects it beautifully. And there is a park in between there, so it kind of works.
Was this back into Sepulveda Dam?
Yeah.
The same day?
Same place.
I can tell.
Well, there's a couple of days there, but yeah. Essentially.
Your prop people also need to be applauded for being able to keep track of exactly what earpieces you have to have on, what gun you're holding, which watch.
And this is all shot in Poor Man's Process stage on the stage, because, you know, it's easier to do it there and have the good sound and all that stuff. But we just back these trucks into the stage, and obviously when they exit, we're back on location. But. This is the
moment. Was this here in Chatsworth?
Yeah, this is right on our stages here. Right. And this is where Renee finds out that Jack's in the building.
He was under arrest.
And there's been an interesting conflict between these two characters and Jack, because she's done things because she understands Jack's point of view, but Jeffrey's character never understood Jack's point of view and never will.
And there's also some heat between these two characters as well.
Yeah, they had a past experience, a romantic experience, so...
Oh, I thought it was just throwing a grenade.
Oh, no, there's
it was hotter.
There's history there.
They're both terrific.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. And it's all about our show. We need conflict and very little resolution to it. Now, this is interesting because we're inside the safe room and we're seeing them, you know, the additional people being brought in and central characters, of course, Senator and what's interesting is again, what Jack is doing in the background here is very important to what's coming up, and there was a lot of debate amongst us as to whether we should be more specific about what Jack's doing back in behind her, but my choice was to not, because it opened up the possibilities. Again, our audience wants to know, how is Jack getting out of this? And that became, to me, very important, that he, just in the background, seems to be going through these cupboards and doing things, and eventually you find out why he's doing all that and what's going on. But in this case, he spotted his resources, because that's who he is. He takes what he's got to work with and uses his resources.
But people watching this for the first time will have no idea what he just did in the cupboard.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then in retrospective, they'll go back and say, the big
So he's already seen the toolbox he refers to. This is Kiefer's process. You can't he can't just say, give me a toolbox, when he doesn't know it's there. That's why he was over there looking. Right. You know, and that's why he's so smart as an actor. He can't just find a toolbox conveniently. He had to be over there looking for it. And again, a great 24 tension moment where, you know, we're confident that we're going to break in, and Jack is going to jury rig this thing so it doesn't work.
Keep us out.
And this is one of my favorite moments. I said to Kiefer, I said to the writers, I said to Howard, I said to everybody, I need to see the president plug into the wall. I think that's one of the greatest human moments that a president ever had on our show. It's like, plug it in, Madam President, plug it in. Because we all do that, and we just can't imagine a president doing that.
Somebody helping us.
Exactly.
She's an enabler.
That's all done before they show up. So a great moment for Tony coming up here, where this is not what he expected to happen. Your character was... And he realized...
Was that me?
That will be you, yeah. Yeah, we're not watching the finished one. There was a temp line in there that I'm sure you've already recorded. And again, this is the dignified moment I talked about earlier, is where he realizes...
We open up that door, we become a part of history.
Exactly. It's kind of the moment where...
I have to convince my troops
to
stay with me. Because I don't, even though I may know it's a suicide mission, I don't think they all...
Exactly,
did.
Not necessarily.
Right.
And then the big reveal of that, really, who's gotten them this far.
And the only time we had seen Mr. Voight before this is in the...
Prequel.
Redemption.
Redemption, yeah.
Right. Great actor with a storied stuff.
Yeah.
Midnight Cowboy on.
He's just got a... And it was John that said, why don't I have something to eat?
That's great.
Off the top of this.
Since life is activities
exactly. And, you know, one of the things we often hear from our fans is, when does Jack Bauer go to the bathroom, and when does he eat? And so to have one person eating...
We don't want him going to
eating,
the bathroom. God only knows what he'd find in there.
In reality, we did have... He came out of a restroom one time in one show. Somewhere,
did he?
Yeah, somewhere in, I think, season 4 or 3. I'm sure our fans would know better than I do, but we've done it once. But to see somebody eating really helps. And that's why I supported it. It wasn't in the script, but I supported it because it's kind of actually shows us it's real time.
General, I expect you'd be an honorable man. We made a deal. We held up our end of the bargain. We got you in the White House. I expect you to hold up yours.
I don't care about your expectations. You help me, or I will destroy that ship before it ever arrives to you.
No, this was an add-on scene.
That's right. That this scene... What happened with this scene was originally he just helped you.
Mm-hmm.
But what we decided we really needed you to... Like, we needed this to be a stop measure, that the president's safe, everything's fine. We needed him to have the dilemma as well as you.
Right.
Because it used to be just do this and this, and she's in the White House. But we made this a moment of discovery instead.
Right. And also it kind of equalizes us, because I have something on him.
Exactly.
And it's not so much taking orders.
Exactly.
I remember John, when we did the press junket in New York, he talked quite highly of this moment.
Oh, it's an unbelievable moment because it shows that his plan isn't flawless and that your commitment is enough that he would stop the deal. Because your ultimate goal is what ultimately happens here. Mm-hmm. And we see that you're both very clever people, and you both play the game of chess very well.
Exactly. I was just thinking of that. It's a major chess game.
And again, this line and this moment here is John's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? He wanted the dartboard also?
Yeah.
So he wanted food and darts.
Yeah. So at beginning and end, he put that on, and it made it to the cut.
Cool.
So I remember shooting this. This was a very interesting moment.
Yeah.
Because
you know that when I would circle some of these hostages, they actually were waving their hands. They wanted to volunteer, not knowing what was happening.
Well, maybe they were thinking you were going to let them go, or you're going to. It's really a strong moment.
Great faces.
Yes. And it sets up really important.
I love the way you drag this one, the scene out like that.
Yes, it doesn't.
It's like rubber band time.
Yeah. We're really sowing some future seeds here for the rest of the year.
Season.
With these two guys. And it's a very important moment with the way the senator and Buchanan are communicating here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just to supply tension to keep this moment where you're searching and nobody knows what you're doing.
Right.
Again, Glenn, you know, doing his best to try to move her through the White House and get out of there, but the place is locked down and there's no... Every time he turns a corner, one of your men are there and you've got the place covered.
I love that heartbeat. Thing
yes, exactly.
Going throughout.
Yeah.
Door's guarded.
But there's got to be another way out.
There are only three exits.
And again, he's so great because he's not playing it, you know, like I'm in control of my heroism.
Exactly.
It's just coming.
That's our show, though. I mean, we've you know, I think a lot of the characters we've had in the show realize that they're not Teflon. They're,
right.
It can happen any minute.
Right.
And our audience knows that, too. So it's hard to play.
Well, they know that my character and my wonderful squadron of stuntmen actors are going to meet their inevitable end, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's just when, how.
And are they achieving their goal? That's a big deal, too.
Right.
You know what you want. You want mm-hmm. the president.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to achieve your goal?
Which will be a penultimate moment in this whole arc of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Will I or won't I?
Agent Moss, SAT scan's all set up here.
And the exterior of the White House here with all the men are gathering, that's
what was
set inside, too.
Mm-hmm. That was shot inside.
Inside our set here.
It's one of the most heavily shielded buildings in the world.
And that voice is, again, a temp voice.
Is that you?
No. And apparently, this is exactly what happens. They ship the vice president off to a
to another
secure location, and they, you know, they immediately get his or her advice as to how to proceed, and they're essentially in charge.
Wasn't that why Cheney was sent away for 4 years?
I've been briefed on the general situation.
I don't know.
Nothing further from General Gillard.
Again, this is fiction, Tony. So
I'm sorry. I think it's all the same thing. I read it every day in the Washington Post. I'm going, who am I after?
Exactly.
And
it's interesting. This season, we see very little of the vice president, but Cameron did a fantastic job portraying him. And it's, you know, the integrity and the believability of the character. It's kind of like, you know what, you know, the exposure a vice president gets generally is you hear about them occasionally, and it's kind of probably the ratio works out for reality.
Do you have any other evidence that supports your theory that the president is in the lockdown?
And he's already in his safe location,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And it's interesting, when we shot this scene, we shot it on like a two-wall set because we had no idea where we were going to eventually go, and later on in the season you'll see this room is expanded into a much bigger space for a scene that takes place two or three episodes down the way. So it's interesting. So he took this corner, and we basically built around this corner that he's sitting in. And the concept that he's at the Air Force Base, that's the secure location, was in theory, you know, ready to go on Air Force One if he had to.
Well, you shot quite a few pickups. Did we ever keep that sequence where you had the giving the address to the Singhalan people? Remember that quick day we did? Yeah, you kept that?
Yeah, that's I think that is news footage or something.
Oh, I see.
Earlier in the...
Gotcha. But that was just a one-wall situation.
Yeah. And we see that several times when we see the news footage. Keep me apprised of any further developments. And this is, a very poignant moment in the piece because, you know, we know as an audience that they could storm the place and they'd get, you know, they might have a few casualties in the hostages, but the president would be safe.
Right.
Which would probably be the decision that would be made if they knew what was going on.
Right. But they don't have the complete sense of the thing.
Exactly.
Yet.
And this scene is just meant as a moment where our show is, one of the things about our show is that we always set up the fact that there's another ulterior motive for everybody. And that moment was meant to be Vice President say, don't talk about what will happen if the president dies. Never mention it. But he says it with such an interesting delivery that you think, was there something going on here? They would have heard those
shots. So you're now, when was the president's daughter first established?
Right at the beginning.
She
year?
Was in the inauguration.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. And this is an interesting moment here with Glenn because we were shooting this scene and we realized that we shot him on his writing arm. And anybody that's ever had a gunshot would realize he probably couldn't write.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did he added that piece where he says, get the pen out of my pocket. And he struggles through writing it down. And again, the kinds of things you think about when you're doing this show is that
smart TV.
It's very, very difficult. And you see his arm is pretty... He used every ounce of energy he had to reach for to write what he needed to write, because that's the one thing he needed to do was write it on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
But getting it out of his pocket, he just asked her to do it. And we sort of added that to make that scene more believable.
More believable.
Not that I've ever had a gunshot wound, but I'm sure it's a lot more painful than that. And then, of course, the other thing is he got to live through the rest of the season with that injury.
Wow. Well, keeps kicking in that this is all in one day's time.
Yeah, exactly.
Time.
And I love this moment where they look at each other and she said, I didn't do it. And he just went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's just great because, you know, because characters are getting informed with looks and acting. It's great.
Right.
Okay, now we know they've got the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we have John basically monitoring it through the news channels.
Did you shoot John's segment separately from the... You know, the 10 days allotment that we had to shoot the episode?
No, he was in the schedule, but I think we had done the bulk of the White House stuff when we shot him, so
right. Oh, I see.
I was aware of what's going on. And...
Mm-hmm.
I discovered a fiber optic camera embedded in the chandelier.
And this is the moment where you realize they've been watching you. But it turns into...
Another reveal.
Exactly. It turns into a resource for you to make this work. Which I think is always interesting. And this is the moment you put it together. You don't have a plan at this point.
Right.
But now I see it formulating, and that's great to watch that formulate.
Right.
And the way you played it, you could see that you were
thinking
about what you were going to do. Yes.
Well, a smart hero has smart people.
Exactly. And this is important. In the background here, he's working on something.
Mm-hmm.
That comes up in episode 13. But again, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something back there. We don't know what he's doing, but that's a Jack Bauer moment.
Exactly.
Now that you've been watching us. Good. There's something else I think you should see.
And even your men don't know what
no,
you're
they, they're
doing
just loyalists.
Exactly. They do whatever
trust
you
me. I don't think I necessarily have to force them, though. I think I've rallied them
exactly.
to the commitment to the country.
I'm going to cut out your daughter's eyes one by one.
I remember this was a particularly long day.
Yes.
Cut out her tongue
And this is what's great. I got, you know, you're scary, but you're not. I don't think you're. You know, no, we're not.
It's not villainous.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it's a fine line.
So many different. I mean, you can go between the surveillance,
exactly,
real time. You know, your camera operators are fantastic. Yes. Every constant handheld.
Now this scene is as big as we get. Again, as big as we get in this series,
right?
Because this is all about family, and this is Jack. This is how she's getting to Jack. Very intelligent point of view. And I love the line that comes up in this. Guilt plays here. It's like, had so much history about his daughter. And this is the question that challenges him the most. But
I am not the president of the United States. And also puts the audience
exactly
in his position.
Exactly.
So they identify even further.
And when he said, but I am not the president of the United States, it just chills down my spine, because it's the respect he has for the office, and the fact that
he knows he couldn't.
It's her daughter. I mean, right. So we go to this, we shrink down to boxes here to let the audience think, what the hell's he going to do? And now we're away from the room. We have no idea. We're with you. And then the result.
I love that look.
Yes. And everything you don't know as a character about Jack Bauer, the audience knows. And exactly. So there's a great moment here where it's like, he's going to do something, and you've got your hands full, buddy. But the way he plays it, and this great emotional moment here. Jack Bauer is just another hostage.
Right. And this senator, no matter the fact that they're both hostages, still carries this point of view.
And this is the moment I've been trying to get to for all this episode. You know, no reason to hold the greatest face-off.
Let them go. Two leaders.
All of the United States is going to cringe when that moment happens. Mm.
No more shopping for produce for me. Yeah. I have to go after midnight.
Yep.
It's happened before.
How could you have done that to her?
I know.
That's where acting comes in, Tony. That's how you both...
I'll remind people of
exactly.
that. Thank you.
And it's not reality.
Exactly.
And this great face-off, close-up, close-up, and the close-up. And we're done.
Wow. We're out.
Hot episode.
Terrific.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.